Hi, I'm Gil Headley, and I'm the proud sponsor of the Anatomy and Movement Channel. Welcome. This conference is important. It's both groundbreaking and ground-building. Literally hundreds of thousands of us have gathered here to expand our experience of embodiment, and in so doing, evolve the embodied experience of our world. Embodiment is a practice that anchors us consciously into that which is common to us all, our human body. Regardless of our differences, and we have them, we all live out our lives in a body, and we're all connected by that shared experience. I've been developing integral anatomy for the past 25 years. I believe the human body is not a problem to be solved, but rather a gift to be received and explored. Integral anatomy is an approach to understanding the whole body, which emphasizes textural layers, continuities, and relationships. We notice differences not to create separation, but to appreciate that which unites us all. I'll be presenting here on the Anatomy and Movement Channel, as well as on the main stage, and I hope you'll join me to explore the heart of inner space. And for further study with me, check out my website, gilheadley.com. When you join my site, you'll automatically receive 3 free full-length courses because I'm on a mission to share what I've learned through my own deep exploration of the human form. And I'm certain that these courses will enhance and transform your own embodiment practice. I hope you enjoy the presentation.
All right, so without further ado, Karin is the founder and principal educator of Art of Motion Training and Movement, a renowned training organization for contemporary Pilates and Slings myofascial training based in Switzerland and Australia. Karin developed a certificate and diploma in contemporary Pilates, as well as a series of functional anatomy workshops. She credits much of her inspiration to Anatomy Trains, as the book opened a whole new world of possibilities. After certifying in kinesis myofascial integration and becoming an Anatomy Trains teacher, she developed Anatomy Trains in Motion, a joint venture with Tom Myers and James Earls. Inspired by the open-minded wholeness of Anatomy Trains and the depth of positive change that can be achieved through structural integration, Karin created the holistic movement concept called Slings Myofascial Training, designed to produce structural balance, resilience, and self-awareness through movement. The concept has been successfully implemented for years, and the comprehensive curriculum is embraced by both movement professionals and body workers with a flair for movement. So please, everyone, join me in welcoming Karin to the concert.
Thank you so much, Chris. And Caroline, thank you so much for supporting this webinar. I'm just going to share my screen. And get a little bit out of the way. So a warm welcome to everyone who is joining me today. I'm excited to be with all of you. I'm at the moment in Switzerland. That's where I'm currently living, and I'm excited to share this presentation with you because it's close to my heart and I think it's very timely. So it's about the interoceptive soundscape, and for me, it's a tool to find you inner ease. The way it's going to work is first I'm doing a theory part, that's the presentation part, and then I'm inviting you to do a movement practice with me in which I will incorporate the interoceptive soundscape scale. And when we go into what we call, in a sense, concept absorption, my friend and art of motion educator, Heidi Savage, will do an actual piece of music, which is absolutely beautiful. And then we go into a short invigoration and the Q&A. Okay, before I get started, a few references here that relate to interoception. At the moment, there's an abundance of information. However, these references, they ongoingly inspire me, and I do hope they will give you as much rich information as they are continually giving me. So they're definitely worth repeated reading or listening to. The interoceptive soundscape scale is the centerpiece of this webinar, and I wanted to introduce it to you right at the beginning so you know where we are headed. So that's how it's how it looks like. And what the way we're going to roll is we will start at the outside, so the larger context, and then I will add in the details. And at the end of the theory component, we are here with the interoceptive soundscape scale, which we're going to then apply in the practical session. Initially, I developed the interoceptive soundscape scale as a tool to refine body awareness and also emotional awareness. And then in time or with practice, modulate feelings, may they be physical or emotional, to support optimal well-being. So this in short is where we are headed. Now
Excuse me, Karin. I'm sorry to interrupt. The echo is a little bit of an echo from the microphone and is obscuring what you're saying a little bit. Can you just either move a little bit forward or adjust the mic for us?
Does that sound better?
Yeah, it sounds better on my end. How's it for everybody in the chat? Want to give us a test real quick?
Okay, so Chris, interrupt me if it's not clear. So it is about feeling. The interceptive soundscape is about feeling. And so we speak the same language, as in we have the same definition of feeling. I give you one, and just for the duration of this presentation, let's agree to this definition that feeling encompasses sensation and emotion, and they influence one another. So when I speak about sensation, I'm referring to physical sensations, as in the perception of something physical. Everything we physically perceive has an emotional coloring. When I speak about emotions, I'm speaking about affective states or the way we interpret the physical sensation. Now, the emotional coloring of the physical sensation will change the experience of the physical sensation itself. It sounds all a bit twisted maybe, but let me put this into an example so you know what I mean. Imagine after this talk, you're going out and you're walking to the bus station and you're waiting for the bus. And then someone is hugging you from behind. The hug is a physical sensation, and it's quite neutral. It's just a matter of fact. Someone puts their arms around you. And then, of course, we have an emotional coloring, we have an emotional response. And the emotional response changes with context. If a stranger is hugging you from behind, you have a very different emotional response than when your best friend is hugging you from behind. And probably 1 year ago, you would have had a different emotional response to a hug than you have today during the pandemic. So in short, a sensation is what we feel, and an emotion is how we feel or how we feel about the sensation. And when sensation and emotion merge and become an experience, we have vivid feelings. So that's where we're heading, a vivid feeling experience. Now, brief look at how we perceive the world on the outside or from the outside. So generally, through the five senses, we have the eyes through which we perceive images, the ears through which we perceive sound, the nose through which we perceive smell, the mouth through which we perceive taste, and the skin through which we perceive touch. When I say touch, I not only mean actual physical touch, I also mean non-material touch, like the warmth of the sun on the skin, for example. Now, the perception of our inner world is what I call the sixth sense, and it's the kinesthetic sense. What kinesthesia gives us, it allows us to experience the body, experience movement or the quality of movement, and also experience our emotional states. There are different kinesthetic systems in the body. A primary kinesthetic system is the fascial system, and then also the muscular system. Because this is a movement-related presentation here, I'm emphasizing those two systems, and especially fascia, which I will speak about a little bit more in a moment. So to keep that in mind, we perceive the world from the outside through our five senses, and our inner world we perceive through our kinesthetic sense, in which fascia is a primary organ of perception. Now, in terms of perception, we are focusing, or we will be focusing in the practical component, on exteroception, which is touch perception and also receiving stimuli from the outside. The outer layer of the skin, the epidermis, is exteroceptive. When you stand on the mat and you feel the texture of the mat or the floor, this is an exteroceptive sensation. If you use a yoga block or a textured massage block, this is also touch perception. And then the inner layer of the skin, the dermis, is highly introceptive. It gives you a felt sense of what touch means in your body. So in that sense, the outer layer of your skin perceives, for example, the mat, and the inner layer tells you how you feel about that touch.
Excuse me, I'm sorry, Karen. We just had some requests in the chat. If when you're describing the information on the slides, if you could just move a little bit forward because the mic is still giving off that kind of echoey sound.
Oh, does it? Would it help if I come closer to the screen?
Yeah, you sound a lot better right there.
Okay, excellent.
Sorry.
Thank you, Chris. Excellent. No, that's exactly what I need. Beautiful. So if you now draw your attention to the bottom box there where it says proprioception. Proprioception is the way we orchestrate movement in or orchestrate our body. So how we align our posture, how we coordinate movement, and how we time rhythm. That's proprioception. Now, proprioception is a little bit like Switzerland. It's rather neutral, so I can move my arm, and that's just a proprioceptive activity. It's a shoulder abduction. And then how I feel about it, the lightness in my arm, the tension in my fascia, the length of my arm, or the muscular effort or ease that I'm using, these are interoceptive sensations. So interoception informs us how we feel about exteroception and touch perception, and how we feel about proprioception, movement coordination. Now, these are intellectual differences, but they are worthwhile making, because in our awareness, they blend. However, sometimes there is a dominance. Someone might be very aware of how they touch, but don't find it so easy to interpret what it means for them. Or they might be technically in their movements very accurate, but have a harder time knowing what certain movements, how certain movements influence their body. And so there's a tendency sometimes to repeat movement patterns that are not health oriented, because they look good, but they are not supportive of optimal well-being. And sometimes it's the other way around. Someone is very aware of their feeling states and their movements might be less coordinated. So the aim is dynamic balance between exteroception, interoception, proprioception. Now, the focus of this talk here is interoception. So this is a very brief summary of what, or a definition of what interoception is. And interoception is a moment-to-moment process in which bodily sensations are experienced and emotionally responded to. All of it is important. The really important part, however, is moment-to-moment. the experience that I would like to facilitate with the introceptive soundscape is in the present. It's not in the past, it's not in the future. And so I want to give you another example to emphasize the importance. During the class, I'm just briefly going back, during the class, we will do a movement that is called the roll down. So we'll roll down, moving into full spine flexion. I'm amongst the people who have not yet experienced back pain or restrictions in my back, and I find this movement an absolute delight. I find it delicious, needed opening. I just have a lot of positive attributes for this roll down movement. However, what we have seen in practice, if a person has had an experience of pain, back pain, where flexion was a trigger of pain, or once used to be a trigger, and maybe a well-meaning person said, you know, make sure you don't flex the spine anymore. This is definitely going to do damage. So if that's in your mind or in your memory, then we see avoidance patterns because of pain anticipation. So it's a memory of an interoceptive feeling that determines a current response rather than, and I totally understand that it's challenging, but rather than tuning into the body this very moment, in this roll down today, to go in and go like, how is the physical sensation and how do I feel about it today? Not an anticipation of the future based on the past, which might be negative. So moment-to-moment process, meaning we need to be present for the experiences, may they be physical or emotional, and then we can fine-tune the experience by making adjustments. Now, I love this slide. At the moment, this is one of my favorite slides, and it's about interoceptive processing, neural processing, that is. Interoceptive information comes from the body and then travels up the spinal cord to the brain, and there are several areas in the brain that process interoceptive information. A key structure is the insula, or the insular cortex of the brain. And there is the posterior part, a mid part, an anterior part. And the information goes from posterior to anterior. So first, in the posterior part, we receive an abundance of information, unfiltered and largely unconscious, or maybe fully unconscious, because if we would be conscious of the amount of information coming into our insula, we couldn't have a conversation, you couldn't hear a word that I'm saying, you would be busy with your gut and your breath and God knows whatever else is going on in your body. So unfiltered information intake in the posterior part of the insula, then as the information moves forward towards the anterior insula, we, that's the middle picture, become conscious. There is a filtering process in which our nervous system determines what is of relevance for us right now. So we become aware of the body. So it could be, I'm thirsty. That's body awareness. And then I have an emotional response. I'm starting to feel a bit unwell. This is not good. It motivates me to make an adjustment. I have a sip of water, for example. So we go from an unfiltered sensory information intake, and then with neural integration, I become aware.
Hey everyone, sorry for the technical difficulties. I think we had Karin froze there and lost connection. I don't see her in the room anymore, but hopefully we're going to get her back. Is there anything that's coming up for anyone that is, you know, either raising thoughts, questions, inspiration, anything like that, while we wait for Karin to come back? You can drop it in the chat if you're a panelist. Yeah, Heidi.
Yeah, just while she's waiting to come back, I can just share from my own experience. I've done this linked myofascial training with Karin as a student to become a teacher of it, and now working towards being a teacher of teachers. And I was one who was told, I mean, I have a lot of hypermobility and things like that, and told never to do a flexion. And her roll down is cued in such a way that you really are supported. It is supported spinal flexion, which what people say not to do is unsupported spinal flexion. But I did have a lot of the, oh my gosh, you know, so, but I did it and it transformed me. So there we go, she's back.
Hi, you're back, excellent. We were just, oh, you're muted. Karin, you're still muted. On, yeah, try unmuting on your Zoom screen. Bottom left corner.
Am I back?
You're back.
I'm so sorry. This is actually, this is not good, but it's actually really matching the topic because my interoceptive soundscape just went up to top volume. It's a lot of noise here. So, okay, I'm back. Good. okay. Have you still seen the interoceptive achievements? Was that still on the screen? Was on the screen, okay. It's about feeling vibrantly alive. I couldn't feel more vibrantly alive. I'm buzzing on the inside. Okay, making health promoting behavior adaptations at the moment means get your internet working. And now I'm back at peace. another achievement, which is actually worthwhile mentioning right now, is empathy. So being able to relate to other people's emotional states. So, thank you very much for your relation to my emotional state right now, everyone who is watching. Good, okay. Now, fine-tuning inner ease. This is what's really at the heart of the matter. And I was inspired by the German language where I put two words there, Stimmung und Einstimmen. Stimmung means mood and also sound tuning. And why is that important? Sometimes we feel, and I'm including myself, let's say I feel I'm in a certain mood. I get up in a certain mood and it feels a bit, this is my mood and there's something fixed about it. But then when I take the German definition and it also means sound tuning, I mean, tuning an instrument is a process in which I actively engage. So like I can tune an instrument, I can tune my mood. And that brings me to Einstimmen, which means tuning or tuning in, being attuned, attaining inner ease. These are all translations of the word Einstimmen. And this is really what the interoceptive soundscape is all about, to recognize the volume of feelings. Sometimes we have places in the body where there's a lot of noise. So just 2 minutes ago, I had a lot of noise in my body because the internet cut off and I could not think about anything else anymore. Someone who has experienced pain sometimes is in the same state. They will tell me in detail how that pain feels like, but they can't feel the rest of the body or parts of the body where there is ease. So when we have a lot of noise, our awareness becomes very, very small and we can't hear finer feelings or perceive the quiet places in the body. So quiet places are places where we are at ease and sometimes we overlook them because they are quiet. And then we also have silenced places. We all have them to a lesser or greater degree. And they are inaccessible blind spots, part of the body that we can't access, either we can't move them or we can't feel them so easily or not at all. And sometimes it's these blind spots that create a lot of noise elsewhere. So the aim is to awaken them and transform them to quiet places. So here, interoceptive soundscape is about developing feeling awareness and draw meaning from what is felt. And we will do this through the slings practice. Now there is I called it Feeling Awareness 101, where you can use a 1 to 10 scale. Now, when you look to your left, you see white and the words none or nothing. These are the blind spots, not feeling anything, no physical sensation or no emotional perception that goes with it. And then we have 1 to 10, which is feeling. It could be from mild to medium to strong, from pleasant to delightful to intense. And so think about it like the dial, the volume dial. It can be very quiet. The music is very quietly playing in the background or in your inner background. Or you can turn it up so it's more there, more present, or really loud. It's when you want to dance with the music. So you choose where the volume first. You notice where the volume is at, and then you can either dial it down or dial it up as we go through the movement practice. At the very right, I hope you can see that, is alarming red. And alarming red means the volume is too loud. You can't hear anything anymore than one thing. So dial it back. Now with practice, and of course you can fill in your own words. I put a lot of words there. We can add emotional coloring to the volume. So you, if you want to compare it to music, you could say, you know, in the 1 to 3 range is ambient jazz, at the 9 and 10 is heavy metal, and then everything in between. So what is the emotional coloring that you experience? Do you find the movement easeful, relaxing, mellow? That's yellow. Is it soothing, comforting, becomes a little bit more sunny, fuller, heavenly? I love that word. That's totally interoceptive. Is it nourishing? That's very orange. Is it stimulating? Is it bittersweet, intense? That goes into a red. A burgundy red is devilish. It's irritating. It's not bad. It's just an observation. So how far do you want to take it into the burgundy until it becomes, again, alarming red, which would be breathtaking or destructive or painful? Then we know we need to also come back into the burgundy red or into the orange zone. Now, sometimes in a part of the body, we experience a trap, and it's when we swing from feeling nothing to feeling too much, from silenced to deafening. And so when you find there's a part of your body where you are in this trap, here is the key: curiosity and kindness towards yourself. Become the observer of your interoceptive soundscape. Stay in your body. But rather than being the pain, observe the intensity of the feeling, and with a little bit of distance go, what could I do to dial it back or to change the emotional coloring? What adaptations can I make? And it, at best, do it with kindness, no judgment, I should or I shouldn't, or none of that. And then in time, we can transform blind spots into fully colored, vibrant feelings, and we can come out of the excessive noise and also make intense sensations more integrated and tolerable. So, and now let's do this. Let's use this interoceptive soundscape in a slings practice. And you choose your words, you choose your colors, you choose the volume. Okay, so. Okay. All you need is a mat. Good.
All you need is a mat. Oh, I'm going to change this for my movement. And then if you like, you can also use something for release your hand if that's necessary. A yoga block or using a ball, but it's just an option. So you can stand in front of the screen. You could even do it on the floor. It works beautifully well. The legs are about hip distance apart. The pelvis is centered on top of the legs. The spine is elongated from the crown of the head. You're reaching up towards the ceiling. Let your arms relax. And then raise your arms forward and upward with an arm up. Let your arms fall and the knees dynamically bend. So we call this a dynamic impediment with arm pendulum. Now, how do you feel with that movement? How is the physical sensation? And how do you emotionally or energetically feel? Now, for me, when I do swinging, balancing movements, I literally feel my mood lift. Very hard to stay in a bad mood when you're doing balancing and swinging movements. Let's add an element here. Once you swing the right arm in the front, and then you swing the left arm in the front. And you alternate which arm crosses in front. If you had fun before, do you have the same fun? Is it maybe even more because you have a coordination challenge? Or a little less? Let's add something on. If your arms go easily overhead, touch your middle fingers when your arms are overhead. Middle fingers exactly. Still crossing your arms in an alternating fashion. So how is that added coordination challenge? Do you feel motivated to get it? Or maybe someone feels a bit irritated. So what is it in your body right now? And then the next time you lower your arms, lower them slowly. Keep your legs extended. You can stand the way you are and now we'll turn sideways so you can see the movement from the side. We're going from a dynamic movement into a slow motion. Actively lengthen the body, nodding motion, tilt your head forward, and then roll down slowly. As you're rolling down, you engage your pelvic floor and abdominal muscles more strongly. From a very low scale to a mid scale, and then go all the way up to your maximum. And when your fingertips are off the floor, you're fully engaged in your pelvic floor and your abdominal muscles. And your lower back is lengthened and opened. Tune into your lower back. How do you feel? Bend your knees. Fold forward, releasing your pelvic floor and abdominal muscles. Extend the legs as far as you feel comfortable. You can keep the knees bent. And then re-engage pelvic floor and abdominals and start to roll up very slowly. Now your back muscles are working with ease. Elongating your spine one vertebra at a time until your head is balanced on top of the spine. Center the body, reach up from the crown of the head and roll down again. Peeling your spine away from an imaginary wall. How does that active lengthening of your back feel? Does it feel like a needed lengthening in your muscles? Strengthening of your fascia. Is it loosening? How does it feel? Is there a hint of maybe wearing it if you haven't done it for a while or you have done it differently? And if so, what can you do right now to come into an orange zone? Maybe bend the knees, maybe stand against an actual wall so you feel supported. And then bend your knees, fold forward. Go from that maximum pelvic floor door activation to a complete release. Have that completely letting go of you. Extend the legs as far as you like, and then start to roll up. Feeling the strength running up the midline of the body. Lifting from the pubic bone, allowing the spine to elongate with ease, minimal effort, low volume. Balance your head on top of the spine, and then you can step forward, turn sideways, like I'm standing, I will mirror you. Raise your arms up, lift your left knee, extend the left leg, take it back. Sit down and open into a warrior two stance. Extend the left leg. Bend the knee, glide into a warrior. Extend the front leg, triangle pulse. If you have practiced yoga or you're otherwise familiar with the triangle pulse, tune in. When we are familiar, when we've embodied a pose or a movement, it's easier to tune into our introceptive soundscape. And I'm going to add on. Take your left arm overhead, longest side bend. If this is new to you, tune in very, very clearly. What does that newness, how does that newness feel different in your body? If you would like to take a yoga block or a ball, you can do so. I'm holding the ball, but it's absolutely optional. And then with your top arm, release. So your left hand reaches down towards the floor. You spiral the back of the ribcage open. You take the left arm overhead again. And then you lift the left arm. Center the spine as much as possible. And then do one generous arm circle. One more time, long side. How does the lengthening in the side of your upper body feel? Spiral down, the glide between the ribs, all the way down into the lower back. How does that feel? Take your arm overhead. Lift, triangle pose, reach away from your left sit bone, and then release, relax on the circle. Bend the front knee. Okay, take your hand away from the prop and then lift all the way up again into an extended triangle. Turn the right foot forward, arms overhead, and let's move to the other side. So you take your left arm overhead, glide, reach up and extend the front leg, and you're in triangle pose again. I'm sorry, I should have said that before. So if you're using a block or the prop, take it to the other side and then find the triangle pose again in which you ground the front foot, the outer edge of the back foot, and lengthen the spine as much as possible. And now you add movement. So long side bend. If you like to use the prop that you used before, go ahead. I'm using the ball for a stimulus. Now it's again a stimulus from the hand to the spine. And now with your top hand, right hand, you reach down and you add a multi-dimensional movement to this pose. Take your arm overhead and then reach up and reconnect the top ribs. Can you stay strong in your body, yet let the right arm swing with absolute ease? Let's do this again. That's a beautiful movement. It's not only beautiful for the spine and the ribs, the muscles and fascia around, it's also beautiful for the inner organs. It's a massage for the inner organs. And our inner organs, they're highly interceptive. So how does that make you feel on the inside, deep? And then from here, you can bend the front knee. Now, we definitely don't need the props anymore. You can lift up, extend, and then turn the left leg forward, turn to the right again, bend the front leg, extend the back leg in a low lunge, step back into a downward facing dog, inverted V, curl the tailbone under, lift up from the pubic bone, big throw forward, find support, slide one leg towards you, the other leg, take a seat on one side of the legs, take the legs forward, hold on behind the legs, and then tilt the pelvis back, curl the spine, and roll down slowly. With the help of your arms, lift the legs. Can you keep the legs really relaxed and hold the legs with your arms? Feeling the weight of your legs with your arms. Interoceptive sensation. And then hug the knees towards the chest and go into a restful pose. Place one foot down to the floor. And now you have choices. So either you can sit exactly the way you are. You can take the knees out into a downward pose. You can let the knees fall together. We call it sacrum opening. You let the lower back gently open. Or you can extend the legs and relax in Shavasana that we call in the Slings concept absorption. It is a quiet awake state, a quietly awake state in which we let physical sensations and emotional responses integrate. So it's a time of stillness to let the body and the mind and you feel it, the emotional states integrate what you feel. So you can stay lying on the floor. I'll just sit up for a moment and you go into absorption while Heidi will add a piece to the absorption.
Somewhere between the lost and the found, silence gives way to the glory of sound. Sun beckons night as the stars come out to play. Splendor of the dawn ushers in a brand new day. And this is love. This is love. Somewhere between hope and despair, courage finds her voice and she opens up to share. Secrets are shattered in the light of the day. Truth rings forth and she shows us the way. And this is love. This is love. In the middle, we find the common ground, where simplicity becomes so profound, where there is love. Somewhere between the right and the wrong, broken heart can sing, oh, the gentlest of songs. Letting go of the past and all of the pain. Opening a door to a glorious refrain. And this is love. This is love.
keep your awareness in your body and the inner sounds of your body. From very quiet to fuller, richer, without judgment. And then is that sense of inner resonance. Expand your breath. Let the breath expand from your chest into your belly, the pelvis down into the legs and the feet. And also out into the shoulders, arms and hands, up through the throat to your face and the back of your head. And then you can move your feet, move your hands. Start to bring movement from the outside in into your body. If you'd like to reach back with your arms, reach back. Give yourself a really big stretch from fingertips to toes. And then slide one leg towards you. Slide your other leg towards you. Hug the knees close. Open your eyes. Blink a few times. Reconnect with the outside world. And then you can choose either you are rolling over the side into a sitting position, or you hold on behind the knees and you rock forward and backward. And if comfortable in your body, you turn the rocking into a generous rolling. It's very invigorating to massage back in this movement. And then you can take a sitting position that is comfortable for your body. You can, of course, sit elevated on a chair, it doesn't really matter. Lengthen your spine. Keep that sense of inner ease. Raise your arms overhead. And then open your arms. Spread the fingers, spiral towards the right. Center the body. Reach up, spiral around to the left. Center the body, lift the sternum open through the front, and then move into a very soft curl. So like we're doing tense and soft movements, we can also vary our inner sounds from a higher volume to a lower volume, from a richer, more intense emotional coloring to a milder, softer emotional coloring. So thank you very much for joining me in this presentation. In a few weeks, a more extended version will be available on our website, but I do hope that you got something out of it for yourself, and if you're a teacher, also a tool that you can bring into your movement classes or into your practice if you're working in therapy. So for me, it has been a great pleasure to be part of it, and we still have time for questions. So if someone has a question, please, if I can answer it, I certainly will.
I do have a great question here. I want to start, though, by mentioning a comment that Arabella left. Arabella writes, love the different rhythms of this practice. Thank you. And I think that's something that really stands out, right? The ability to move a little bit faster, a little bit slower, all within the same practice. So I'm thankful for you in giving us that gift this morning, for sure. So we have a question here that says, how tough is it to undo muscle memory using interoceptive practices?
That's a big question. Is it muscle memory? Is it fascial memory in which muscles are embedded? Fascia is a richer interoceptive system than muscle tissues, and I'm speaking here just anatomically based on receptor density. So I think it takes time. However, what we have found, I in my personal practice and also as a teacher and hearing it from my teachers, it doesn't take as long as some people anticipate. It's not the repetition to change a memory, a physical memory. For me, it's the awareness that I put in. The first step really is acknowledge, and not just acknowledge, but accept whatever you do that you feel is a myofascial memory in your body. Go like, that's what it is. I'm not painting it better than it is or worse than it. That's what it is. And then envision, feel, believe in how it could be. And if I acknowledge what is, I open the door to possibility. Sometimes we have seen incredible transformations also in highly emotional areas like the back, where people were held in a pattern because of pain and they seemed to unravel this pattern reasonably quick, but they were there, they were present, they were engaged in the process. So engagement is probably more the key than how long it takes for me.
We have some other comments here. Thank you, Karen. My body is warm and full of love. That's a beautiful comment. Thank you for sharing. And we have another one from Kathleen. Your YouTube videos have been fabulous. Thank you for introducing me to a most beautiful, transformative practice infused with abundant scientific knowledge.
My introceptive soundscape is glowing right now. So thank you. That's very, very kind. Thank you.
So one question that I was thinking a lot about is, you know, this is such a beautiful, diverse practice. How have you sort of evolved with your practice over this year in these incredible times of trauma?
Yeah, the interceptive soundscape that really for me developed this year because of the global challenges we're all experiencing, but also personal challenges that I had with my health. So I would say in this year, my practice, also my appreciation of the body and the richness of not just the emotional life, but what we can do, how we can transform, how we can support self-healing from within, and then also healing on the outside, that has multiplied this year through outer circumstances and inner circumstances. So I do feel actually on a very positive note, all that's going on has given me a much deeper appreciation of movement, this work of probably the body, the self-healing capacities or the potential of the body itself. Has been a profound year of learning.
Thank you so much for reminding us that we are constant students, for sure. I definitely want to give you the last word. I can't believe we're already at the end of our session. But before I do, just a few final announcements. Next up on the Anatomy and Movement channel is Sensory Awareness. Sensory Awareness, Getting Back to Our Nature with Ian Yona Yamin. I think that's going to be a great session. And don't forget, you can continue the conversation during one of our coffee break sessions. We'll drop a link to that in the chat. And then also, of course, you can continue the conversation on our Embodiment Facebook group. I'm sure many of you are there. If you haven't been, please check it out soon. As I mentioned in the beginning, this session will be available for 48 hours for free on to rewatch for free on the Embodiment Conference website. And after that, it will be available for purchase. So if you do purchase the library, you get some great additions, like a ton of extra features, including notes, audio versions, learning lists from the presenters. And it's also hugely helpful because, you know, it's not easy to bring all this great content this year for free. So anything is much, much appreciated. Okay, and we're also going to drop some links in the chat to Karin's work so that you can follow up and learn more about what she's up to and how to practice with her. And to close out, I want to give the floor back to you, and I want to ask you, Karin, what is your top tip to live a more embodied life?
Ooh, a top, that's a big question I haven't thought about. Is there a top tip from me? I don't know if it's a top tip, but it's a key for me to live a more embodied life, and that's really self-responsibility, that I know I am responsible for how I feel, how I interact, and not look for, you know, others to do the work for me, or feel others taking away from me. Is my big thing is self-responsibility. The more I can really acknowledge, embrace me and my capabilities and my responsibilities, the more embodied and empowered I feel. And I think it makes me much more compassionate and loving and giving and generous. So yeah, it's self, Selbstbewusstsein in German, the awareness and acceptance of self.
Absolutely beautiful. Well, I hope that you enjoy the rest of your time here at the conference. And I want to thank everybody on Facebook that's watching and everybody on the Zoom recording that's watching. It's been a pleasure, and have a great day.
Thank you very much.